Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Work Sucks, I Know. This is your host, Michael Timlin. Just right up top, something's going on with my sinuses. I sneezed like a million times in a row at work the other day. And since then, this is gross. I hope you signed up for this. I hope you'll allow me to be gross. There's been 20 episodes of this shit now, so I haven't gotten gross yet. And this maybe isn't even gross, but I sneezed like 20 times. And it just rearranged my face, just moved whatever was in one sinus cavity to another. Basically, I have a pressure in my ear that like won't go away. And at the current moment, do not have health insurance. So we're just rocking it out, you know, me and my little ear buddy. And we're going to hope for the best. We're going to use the oldest health insurance, which is prayer. you know, we're going to hope for the best, but I can't tell if I actually sound weird or if I am hearing it weird. So, you know, let me know. Call 631-623-0248. Don't tell me if I sound weird on the voicemail. No one's really interested in that. But I do want you to call. That is how you get featured on a Friday episode, which is what you're listening to on a lunch break. You know, tell me a work story. Tell me how you feel about your life, your job, whatever you want to call it, man. I keep throwing it out there that you don't have to talk about work. You can just call and fucking say whatever. That'd be nice, right? You need a wild card in life. I'm missing that. I don't wait on customers really anymore. And I miss out on the insanity that they would bring. When you get it all the time, it's the most depressing thing in the world. When you get it once or twice a week, boy, is it fun. So be my wild card, you know, come on, baby, be my wild card. That's a song, right? It sounds like it, in like an 80s hair ballad or something. speaking of 80s hair ballads, dude, I hope you liked the Calvero episode. Big fan, man, big fan. Not many people trying to write pop songs, you know, we listen to them all of our lives, but, he's the only person I know that's trying to write them. And I think that's really cool. And I think he's fucking good at it. So hopefully he gets a big hit one day. That would just be the sickest thing in the world because I think he's super talented. And you know what? I think you're super talented as well. Why don't you call and write a pop song and call and sing it? That's my biggest fear, by the way, singing. I would, I do stand up, but I don't know what the analogy I'm looking for, comparison I'm looking for. But I would rather, I guess, streak. Like run into a sport, maybe not like nationwide for Christ's sake, but like a local game. I would rather streak naked than do karaoke in front of the same amount of people. I just could never do that. Especially now that I'm not drinking booze, dude. Booze, dude. I could never sing in front of strangers without booze, dude. Okay, we do have one voicemail this week. Why don't we just get to it, and then I'll jibber jabber about my little life. This is from Tim McLaughlin, who is a dear friend, known him for years. He is the co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Great Hang with Micah Fox and Tim McLaughlin. Micah Fox, of course, his much funnier girlfriend, much more successful, funnier, whatever qualifier you want, she's more of it. But they seem to get along, you know, so it works for them. It's a mystery, but I'm kidding, Tim, about that it's a mystery. Of course, you deserve love. I'm not kidding about her being funnier than you. That said, love you. This is Tim McLaughlin's voicemail. Let's hear it.
Hello, Michael. Tim McLaughlin here. First time, long time. Calling in with a work story. As you know, I used to work for my dad hanging window coverings, and I was coaching fourth grade basketball, and I threw my back out having the kids run sprints. I told them if they could beat me doing suicides, they wouldn't have to run anymore. And once I touched the third line, my back gave out, and I crumpled in the middle of the basketball court, and I made all 11 children come and pick me up off the court. So I threw my back out during practice, and the next day I had to hang 126 blinds. So I called my dad, and I was like, hey, I threw my back out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to work tomorrow. And he goes, oh, no, you'll be at work. And I said, all right. So I called him in the morning. I told him I couldn't move. And he goes, here's what you do. You roll out of your bed, onto the floor, do a push-up, stand up, and come to work. And I had to hang 126 blinds. It took me 12 hours, and I went home and couldn't do much about it because it's my dad, and he underpaid me already. So it's like, what am I going to quit? I don't have any kind of college degree or education or reading ability, so it was all I could really do. Anyways, hope you're doing well. The show sounds great, and I hope everyone listens to Great Hang with Micah and Tim. Have a great night, Michael. Bye.
Okay, if you don't know Tim, just trust me when I tell you that is such a Tim story. It's so funny. Those kids that you were coaching, I mean, if they're still friends, which is probable, at least two of them probably still talk to each other. They absolutely still tell that story. I still talk about my coaches with people every now and then, you know, and none of them absolutely died trying to beat us in suicides. I mean, what were you thinking? They're children. They don't get tired. I don't know, man. I love the dad response. That's such a Midwest dad response. It's like, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get out of bed. You're going to do one push-up, just one, and then get your ass down here. Took you 12 hours. That's no fun. Doing physical labor when you're in pain is no fun. I broke a rib like 2 years ago. I didn't break it. I don't know. I got an x-ray and the dude was like, yeah, your rib's fucked up. I'm like, is it broke? And he's like, hard to say, but it's fucked up. Hurt when I sneezed, hurt when I laughed, hurt when I, you know, took a deep breath. And I, you know, I just went to work and it was miserable. I don't know why I did that. I think because he was just like, yeah, there's nothing we do. Like, you're not going to get any pills. You're not going to get a cast. So like, I felt like, all right, well, if I don't have anything to like show them I'm hurt, you know, I broke the rib in like the worst way. I was carrying a big hunk of beef. You know, I'm not going to get into the specifics. I'll just say it was a round for those of you in the know. Basically the leg of a cow. Apparently I did get into the specifics, said I wasn't going to do it. Here we are. I'm carrying it. And the way we used to get it delivered at my old job was so fucking stupid. It was basically a whole cow all fucked up in pieces, big pieces, like a cow cut into four. So it still weighs a lot. For those of you in the know, I better come correct. It was a cow cut into eight because it's a half a cow cut into four, right? So I'm carrying one leg of a cow, but all of it was just at the bottom of this big box. So you have to like stick your whole body into the box. When you first take out a piece, it's on the top. It's like, great, super easy. But then as you bring out the whole cow, the pieces at the bottom are like, you know, they're 3 feet down. So you got to like bend basically the exact opposite of how they tell you to lift things with like your legs. You can't. So you have to just bend over this box. Basically fold yourself in half like a New York slice of pizza and pick up a cow's leg and then come out of it. And when I came out of the box, I started walking. But while I was in the box, the delivery driver moved the little hand truck and I just didn't, you know, I thought it was where it was when I went into the box and I come out, it's right behind me. And I backed into it, into one of like, you know, where you put your hands on like the little rail. And just fucking cracked a rib, dude. I don't know if that's what did it, but I think I hit it pretty hard and then tried to like catch my balance. And I think catching my balance while carrying that big honk of beef just broke the rib. I'm going to be honest with you. I heard myself tell that story as well. And look, was it the most entertaining? No, but it felt contextual, felt like it needed to be said. So I said it. Do I regret it? Absolutely. You know, of course, I wish I could go back and tell it differently. But I can't even do that through the magic of editing because I would just be so disgusted with myself telling that boring story twice and knowing what a fraud and not only that, but like a boring fraud. I like, you know, it's not even like a sexy fraud. It's like tax fraud. It's like, ooh, cool. I'm not even like pulling off a heist. Anyway, the point is physical labor when you're not doing well physically, trash. I commend you, Tim, and I think you're the best. Listen to Great Hang with Tim and Micah. his much more successful and cool, honestly, girlfriend. it's a great time. I'm pretty sure that they did what you're supposed to do as comedians, which is make a funny podcast instead of an emotional one, which is the route I took. But look, you can't change. You can't change the past. You can only look to the future. I'm learning this, and I'm trying, you know, I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm hitting the open mics again. I'm loving doing stand-up again. But I will say, I just left an open mic tonight, right before I started doing this, that pissed me off so bad, which is not a good mood to be in right before you talk to yourself in a room. If you're a comedian, call the show, you know? Tell me if I'm validated or being entitled, because sometimes it is hard to tell. But this is what happened. I went to the open mic. It was my first time there at this particular open mic. Bit of a confusing setup, but there's one guy kind of buzzing around that just seemed like, oh, that's the guy in charge, right? So I go up to him like, hey, man, it's my first time at this mic. How does it work? And he's like, oh, well, you just sign up. It's not a lottery. You might get bumped a little bit, but, you know, which is fine. I ran a mic. You do have to bump sometimes just out of the nature of the game, right? Sometimes it's a really dead room and someone's sitting there that you know is going to crush and you want the energy of the room to be fun. So you're like, all right, you're 15th. Fuck that. You're going at third because the first two started out terrible. They were talking about weirdo stuff. We need someone to do well. Or just like, you know, there's no nobody who's running a mic's making money. You're in it for fun. I get it. You want to put your buddies up. I get it. Sign up 11th. I ended up going 22nd. The fuck, dude? I just told you it's my first time here. Why do you want to give me a terrible experience for? If you bump someone, the etiquette, or, you know, at least the etiquette as I understand it, being a nice Midwestern boy who was raised in civilization, is you bump them one spot. So if they're going 12th and you're like, all right, the mic has been miserable. Oh, that person just walked in. I know they're killer. Let's put them on. Now the person who's going 12th will just go 13th. No harm, no foul. It's four more minutes, three more minutes, whatever it is. They'll be fine. But dude, you're telling me I got to sit there an extra half hour so you and your buddies can talk about 9/11, can talk about pedophilia? I mean, these are the jokes that get said at an open mic, you know, just the worst shit you can think of. And I got to sit there for an extra half an hour and I'm supposed to just be okay with that. I gotta be honest with you. I want her to box his ears a little bit. And I don't know. Is that just the way things are here where it's like, if someone can't help you, fuck them, you know? I don't know, dude. It just felt super rude, and I don't know if that's just ego and I need to check that or if that's actually fucking insane. But the truth is, the next time I go to that mic now, I'm just gonna make sure I sign up for, I'm just gonna get there early, I'm gonna sign up first, and I'm fucking leave. What do I care? Usually I go to a mic, I just, you know, sign up, go whenever, stay the whole time, laugh, sit up front, be supportive, be nice. But now it's like, okay, I'll just use this for stage time and keep it moving. I don't know. I got to let it go probably. We'll see. I'll give it one more chance. But if I get bumped 11 times, I'll probably just kill myself. I don't know. I made sure to do well. That is one thing about me. Tim was talking about coaching basketball. When I used to play basketball, I was pass first unless I felt disrespected. And then I needed to at least let you know. I need to score one bucket just so you know I'm just out here to have fun. Please do not mess with me. that was fake tough guy shit. I don't know. I just don't like being like, that's so rude. I would never do that to someone I didn't know who just told me it was their first time at my thing. I would just, that's a bad customer service, dog. What do you do for a living? You're not from the world I'm from. All right, enough about that. You know, I got a nice apartment. I got a nice wife. I just had a nice beef stew. No, you know, why did I say that? It was lamb stew. What am I, nuts? don't know. It just really rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't know if that's, I mean, look, if I was that upset getting bumped twice, that would be more in the lane of like, do you know who I am? Which I'm not like, but 11 times. I mean, do you know who I am? I'm a person. I'm still a person. Hello. fuck it. I've been having a lot more fun at other mics, you know, and that's what I'm learning is experiences hold a lot of weight when there's not a lot of them to weigh and measure. So if I give myself more experiences, it's kind of like an iron that smooths out the whole process. It helps average the playing field, because the truth is you're going to have shitty times at an open mic, Lord knows, and you're going to have some of the best times of your life. So get out to more of them, Michael, and you'll have, on the whole, a pretty fine time. Because I had a wonderful experience Wednesday at an open mic, saw all my buddies, saw some people I didn't know who, you know, split my sides, saw a lot of funny stuff. But my point is, I don't know if that's ego, and I don't know if it's valid, but I just need to go to more mics and do more comedy, and that's what I'm trying to do, baby. So where does that leave us? Probably pick up, where I left off, which is I was talking about that audition last week. How did it go? Thank you for asking. Thank you for letting me be self-indulgent week after week and seeming to fuck with it, seeming to like it. I hope you know you can do this if you want. You know, you can be self-indulgent on the internet as well. It's a good release. But the audition went fantastic, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, which if you've been listening to how much I don't like myself, that means it really must have went well, if I'm saying that. And I haven't heard anything back, you know, which isn't always the worst thing. The only things I've ever booked, I feel like 3 weeks went by before I heard anything. So who knows, man? But I tell you this, I really don't give a fuck, because I've spent the last like 2.5 years, even like before the pandemic, just not really doing my best, not preparing, not honoring the thing I want to do by doing the work required of it, by just shortchanging myself and sabotaging and just being lazy, dude, honestly. And with this audition, I put a ton of work into it. I knew the lines well enough that I stopped memorizing them and started really saying them, you know? And I didn't panic. I didn't flub. I was on time, polite, had a great time, and left feeling like everyone in the room had a good time. And where I'm at, whether or not I get the thing or not, that's enough to make me feel like I didn't waste any more time. That's all I want to do. It's just not waste any more time, not meeting potential, not doing as good as I can be doing by virtue of being just too depressed to give a fuck to do anything. And so I feel great about it regardless of the outcome. And if you listen to last week, I got something out of it, whether or not I get the part or not. I got 2 weeks of like charged, holy shit, I could win the lottery? You're telling me if I learn these lines, I could win the lottery? I got 2 weeks of like thinking like that, which is, I mean, the equivalent of a drug. I don't know. So it felt good, and I feel pretty good about it. I do feel like I'm not as present as I can or should be, you know. I feel like with these, I should have a lot more to talk about with lunch breaks and stuff. But it's almost as if, like, unless something happens to me externally, I'm not having much of a thought that I think is worth sharing. And so the goal for this upcoming week is to be more present. And shout out to past guest of the show, Kristen Lighty. She shared some meditation meditation resources with me. And I don't mean to giggle, but I'm just thinking, on this very program, I've said what am I going to do? Meditate? You shouldn't be able to meditate if you can go to an Arby's. I don't know. And I really don't even know what that means, but it just feels like, it feels like something I'm not like worthy of or something, but I'm going to try it this week and see what it does for me mentally. And I guess that's where we'll pick up next week and I'll let you know. Cause I'm things are starting to get a little more clear with comedy and life. And this is going to sound hokey and weird, but that's the program you're listening to, bitch. Anything is possible. You can do anything on stage. You can be any kind of comedian you want to be. You can do anything in life. You can be as weird as you want to be. And I think for a long time I let depressive episodes sort of put walls up, boxes up, fences around, whatever you want to call it, which was like, no, I need to be the path of least resistance, the mode of using the least amount of energy as possible to get through this fucking day, just to get through the day. So I'm trying to be not that guy anymore. I'm trying to be open to experience and open to things such as meditation. But I'll tell you what, boy, is it hard. You just feel like a cliche. A future guest on the show, unbelievable country musician, Dougie Poole, who I'm obsessed with and grateful as fuck that he agreed to do the program. He's got a song called Buddhist for a Couple Days, which it's the chorus is kind of where I'm at. It's basically people just seeking, man, looking for answers on ways to live a heightened sort of life that isn't, life is just so boring. Does that make sense? My point is the answer is more, dude. Do more things. Do more of the same thing. Get more people in your life. Isolation, less. All that was really bad for me. So if I got to be a cliche to feel good for a week, I'm going to try that shit, bitch. Okay. I've now called the incredibly kind listener bitch twice, which means it's absolutely time for my bedtime. I apologize for being cranky. should have recorded this earlier instead of after I got, you know, the old 11 bump special. Gee, if it was cocaine, I'd be dead. 11 bumps. Are you kidding? Anyway, call the show. Call 631-623-0248 and be my wild card tonight by Twisted Sister. But call the show. Tell me anything. You know, I want more. I want more. I'm a young Iggy Pop. I need more. tell me whatever you want to tell me. You know, I got to go. I love you. You've been great. Have a good weekend. Got a banger of an episode this Monday with, I'm going to let it be a surprise. It's a big one and it's a phenomenal talk. And after, you know, listening to this, you might be like, is he allowed to talk to someone as smart? Maybe. Is anyone watching? The truth is no one's watching. I'm free to do what I can. I know what that means. I gotta go. I love you. Bye, 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 bye. Good night. What's up?